In a Sefer Aleh Shor, we're learning about how to learn Musaf. Ketzad masigim shleimut b'kiyum ha-mitzvot. Ketzad konim yirah ve'emuna. Ketzad zochim lemidot tovot. Ve'ech megiyim l'tshuva. These are major questions which you won't find in the Shulchan Aruch. But they're underlying everything. They're almost the meta rules of Judaism that are expected, that you're keeping them, they're underlying everything that we do, but they're not given clear guidelines, well we are, but we're not given guidelines in Shulchan Aruch about how to keep it. How does a person acquire emunah? You're not going to find that in Shulchan Aruch. How does a person acquire good midas? You won't find that necessarily in the Gemara, at least not the guidelines of how to do it. So it's clear that it's embedded in Jewish thought. It's essential to being a Jew, a good Jew. There are psukim that speak about it as a given, that that's our direction. But where are you going to find the guidelines and how to keep them? We have to train ourselves that when we learn something, or when we look at the world, that we contemplate it deeply and we think it through. It shouldn't be a sense of, I know what I know, and that's it. And if I understand it on first read, good. And if I didn't understand it on first read, then it's not my level. I just don't get it. Rather, there should be a concept, a recognition that there are layers of thought. And that what I understand on first read reached me a certain place. And when I contemplate it, I can understand it deeper. And as I contemplate more and more, not only in my mind does it deepen my recognition of it, but also my heart begins to deepen the recognition of it as well. And therefore, when a person answers you too quickly, right, you know they haven't processed what you've said. If you said, what do you feel about, I don't know. But I don't know, I know you don't know because you didn't think about it, but take a pause for a minute and think about it. They go, I still don't know. Okay, but did you process this thought? I paused for 3 seconds. What more do you want from me? I mean, you paused to give time for me to feel that you thought it through, but what did you do at that time? What am I supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be thinking. I thought, I don't know it, I don't know it. I don't know. I said, what was it to think of it? The person has to train themselves for hitbonanut, where you quieten down the mind to allow a higher thought to come in. Now this process is very challenging for someone who's always relying on the information they already know, and it's almost the antithesis of what we've been trained for in school. Because in school, the method of teaching often is more on the lines of, here's information, memorize it, here's going to be a test, spit it out. What's your thought on the matter? Who cares what your thought on the matter is? It matters what the teacher's thought on the matter is. It matters what the textbook's thought on the matter is. Who cares what you think about it? Where do you connect it? Where do you relate to it? Why is that relevant? So almost we're not trained for that. So we're trained to just take information, not process it, rather just memorize it and then give it out at the time which is necessary and important. A test. Like, as opposed to life. The test, that's the important time. Right, so here we have to start doing the work, which is the opposite for a lot of what we've been trained for, which is to deepen our sense of thought by not rushing for an answer, not rushing for, do I know this or don't I know this? And if I do know it, good, and if I don't know it, forget it. But rather, pausing and allowing a deeper sense of thought to enter, where it will enter your heart. Vashivosa elevavecha, dafka thumbs through, interesting, no? I haven't thought about this, just this split second it came to me, so I'm not sure if it's accurate, but it looks interesting. The word Vashevosa Elevavecha is the same root as the word Lishvot, Shabbat, resting. Is that correct? Vashevosa Elevavecha, to return it to your heart. The same root as the word. Now what does that teach you? What does that show you? Perhaps, this split second, I haven't thought it through yet. But that shows you that in order for something to enter your heart, you need lishvot, to pause. Not to be thinking of the next thing, and thinking of the next thing, and thinking of the next thing, but rather, the adata hayom, that's in the mind. That you could put in more and more information. How do you bring it to your heart? It doesn't say the nasal b'lovev, the tasim b'lovev. Tasim would be a good word. Simat lek, to put it in your heart. Symbol of that. It says, Vashivoseva, maybe, from the word Shabbat, Vashivet, Lishbot, to pause. That's the way it's going to enter your heart. Are you stopping actively focusing and thinking? Or are they? If that's accurate, then that's a very nice point. And that's our goal in learning Sifrei Musar. להביא אותנו לידי התבוננות בעצמנו וביחסנו אל כל חלקי המצוות. Our goal in learning Musar is that it trains the mind of how one should relate to themselves and how one should relate to the mitzvot. And when a person is mind is, obviously you can learn Musar, not this way, you could learn Musar books in the classic test way, right? And that would also defeat the whole purpose. Where a person would read the book and say, okay, it said this, and said this, and made this chanukah, made that chanukah, very good, and you're moving on. But the goal of the Musar is not the Musar Seder, where you read the information. The goal of the Musar Seder is the afterwards, where you pause and you contemplate. Where does that relate to me? How does that affect me? How is that going to change me now? The Mesir Sharim Magdir et kol ha-midus ha-drushot lanu. Umadrich otanu, ketzad liknotan. The Mesir Sharim gives us the path. Ha-drachah hi be'ikar, b'man litvonen k'tei lezakot v'mita. When you read through Mesir Sharim, and he presents a level that you have to work on, the main tool that Mitzir Tisharim presents for you to acquire a certain level is what you need to be focusing on. What meditation you should be thinking, or what mindset you should acquire, what knowledge you should now have an understanding of, but not external knowledge, you can just read it, but you have to review and contemplate and think about until that becomes your way of thought. When we relate to the world, we have certain notions that we're relating to the world through. And those notions may or may not be in line with God's notions of the world. You know, God's meta rules that he has over the world. So if a person, just take an extreme example, has a notion that everyone's out to get me and people are basically bad and like things usually go wrong and anything that's good, there's going to be something bad around the corner. Like all those types of negative notions that people have. And there's phrases in English which are like the antithesis of what emunah is. They go, a good thing can't last too long. You know, something like that. Right? He didn't even know what was around the corner. All those phrases which are like, what, why? Who said? But a good thing has to end. Where does that say that? Who doesn't say that anyway? But it's this notion that people live with. It's like it's going too well. Like, oh yeah, okay. Can't be good for too long. Where's it going to end? And they live with that notion. And that becomes their meta rule. Their notion that they live in the world with. And the way that they view everything is with that notion, that sense in mind. They may not even be aware of these unwritten rules they're living the world, they're in their world with. They're perceiving the world through. And everything they perceive the world through is tainted by these views. When a person learns Musa, and this is what Mr. Shomer is guiding you to, you're given guidance and instruction of what God's rules of the world are. And as you wish to attain each new level, you're given, presented with, an understanding of if you imbue this as your notion, if you imbue this as your rule in the world, like for example, the example that we gave before, and I just mentioned now in passing, is that there's a concept that even when bad things happen in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a higher plan, which ultimately, that's bringing good into the world. You know, the Daf Yomi in the last couple of days, it says that in this world we say Baruch Atova Meitiv and we say Baruch Tayin Emes, and in the next world we'll only say Atova Meitiv. Does that mean there won't be any bad in the next world? Could be there still will be bad in the next world. The Rambam speaks about there still being wars there. There could still be bad. But we will be able to see and perceive about how those things that from this perspective look to us to be bad, but from a higher perspective, we realize that even things that seem to us to be bad at a superficial level, ultimately are beneficial, and ultimately are good. And therefore, we'll only say Tov V'Hameitiv, even on things that previously we would have said Baruch Tayin Emes on. That's a notion. Now, we've just said that notion. Does that mean that's part of the way you view the world? Probably not. Because only through learning Musar, contemplating the Hashivota El Vavech, where you pause about it, where you think about different life scenarios, you say, oh, that's what it means. A situation comes your way where if you would have that notion, you would have a totally different way of viewing it. First time you just learn it externally, then the second time you go through something and you realize, if I would have that idea, then I would relate this totally differently. And then the third time you half do relate to it that way, the fourth, fifth, sixth time, that's the way that it becomes the way you view that thing. That becomes your meta rule. That becomes your perspective. The goal of the Mesirat Yesharim is to give you a structure of the levels, a ladder, if you like, of all the levels, and which hitbonanut, which point of contemplation, you have to acquire each level. And your goal is to first absorb it on the intellectual level, and then make it kind of in your outer sphere, where it's tangible to you, externally, that you know the idea, you can quote it, and then your goal is to live your life, have experiences, and when you could draw on those different ideas that you've already put in your outer circle, you can bring them in and say, yeah, now is the time that if I would use this concept, it will be helpful for me. At the beginning, it will be a debate whether to use it, and eventually it will become second nature. And that's how you climb the path, and that's the goal of Musa. The goal of Musa is externally bringing in the notions that are God's notions, the Emunah principles, the way the God's meta rules that He lives His world, guides the world with. First, you just understand them, and then through contemplation, you absorb them into your life and you make them part of your inner world. Alidei bonanut. Ki kar konim midot tovot umitrachakim miarot alidei bonanut. Because the main way which a person acquires good character traits and moves away from negative traits is through itbonanut. One example of this, which is like very poignant, is if a child grows up in a home which is a not well-run home. It could be an extreme example, like there's abuse, whether physical abuse or verbal abuse, or it could be a lighter example, like it's always a mess and that there's not order in the house. Either way, in some degree, that home is not functioning well, to some level. What will happen in that child's home? So what's very likely and statistically is he'll have the same home as well. Statistically, he'll have the same home. If a father abused a child, it's likely that child will abuse his child as well. And even though he may complain about it, he'll complain about it and continue. He complained about it as a child and he'll complain about it as a father. It will continue with that same sense because that's the world that he knows. That's the world he's grown up in. That's the world he's familiar with. So he'll say, this isn't good, but he doesn't have any other model to live his life based on. And therefore, the same model will continue in another generation. And his father will, and his mother will say, you're exactly like your father. And whatever she was complaining to the father about, now she'll complain that it's happening again in the next generation, the son's about, or with the girl, the same thing will happen. What happened there that went wrong? There wasn't hitbonanut. There wasn't a contemplation. If there would be a contemplation, the child would say, what led my father to do what he did? What led my mother to do what she did? Where did it come from? There'll be an understanding. The understanding was, well, he went through this and she went through that. Sometimes there's not an understanding. And you can't look backwards. You can look forwards. You can say, well, what did having a home like that lead to? What did it lead to? What environment did it create in the house? What negative impression did it leave on me? Sometimes you can look backwards, sometimes you can look forward, they both work, but it's hitbonanut. Where you look and you contemplate. Through hitbonanut, through contemplating it deeply, a person will create a new plan. And he'll say, well, how do I want my home to look like? What's my vision of my home? Now, it's not easy because he doesn't have a model, but he'll create the model. He'll go and look at other families, other ideas of models, or he'll create in his imagination a new model. But that will only come through hitbonanut, meaning the person has a model and they don't have any other options because they haven't been mitbonen on what the problem is here. They haven't been mitbonen on someone who's doing it better than them and say, how can I acquire that? How can I learn from that? How can I absorb that? Without hitbonut, they'll say, wow, that's so much better. I wish it was like them. But it'll end there. They'll notice that their life isn't good and someone else's life is good. But they won't contemplate. Our goal in Musar is to say, look for people who are successful. Contemplate, what do they do that makes it successful? Is it something which is learnable? How can I learn it? How can I take it on for my life? And then change, and make change in my life. And that way a person can move away from bad traits and move into good traits through hitbonanut. Looking at the world, what's negative, looking at the world, what's positive, looking about how the ways to acquire, and a person can create new models. Otherwise the default is, we have habits, we have models that we live with already, and we remain in that rut of whatever model we were given, whether it was good or whether it was bad. It could be it was good and you're fortunate. It could be it was bad and you're stuck, but you're kind of a chance of fate, if you like. Whatever happened to happen to you, that's what's going to continue another generation. And we're obligated to not let ourselves be determined by fate. We're obligated to meet bonin, contemplate what's the path in life that I need to take and take that path in life. And that's what the Messiah is showing, guides us towards. Now, of course, you cannot notice that.
Because we were saying Sharon, not contemplation, we said Sharon. And you totally missed that as well. The first level of Mitzvah Sharon is Zehirut. Etzem Hamida Hidbonut. The first thing that Mitzvah Sharon speaks about after defining your mission in the world. Obviously, this is not Mitzvah Sharon, this is from the Gemara. But Mitzvah Sharon is following this ladder, this path. The first thing is the Zehirut. What is Zehirut? Zehirut is exactly what we just described. It's paying attention to where things go wrong. Paying attention to where I stumble. Paying attention to where I could stumble in the future. Noticing those things and being careful of those. That's the very essence of Hidbonanut. Lefi zeh, semech nifrat ha-targum Yerushalmi anal. This fits in beautifully to Yerushalmi as we quoted earlier. The whole purpose of Torah is being mitbonen on our actions. And that's why Mitzvah Sharon starts, the Brisa starts, Torah mevi'a lidei zehirut, because Torah, which is being mitbonen, according to Yerushalmi that we quoted a couple of times ago, the whole purpose of Torah is being mitbonen, and you'll start to see where I'm tripping up. A person could make the same mistake year after year, day after day, and not even notice. They could realize that it's not going well, but not notice. One, I'm sure people have seen this, but there's a book by Rav Pinkus on tefillah. Sha'arim b'tefillah, it's called. Rav Pinkus was only zocha to write two of his own books, and then he was killed. And the rest of his books, they were written based on tapes of shirim that he gave. The two books that he wrote are Shabbos Malchusa and Sha'arim b'tefillah. An introduction of Sha'arim b'tefillah, he writes there a mashal, which is painful. It's a painful mashal. When I read it, I wasn't crying, but I felt like I should be crying right now. And this is the mashal that he writes. He writes, he's talking about tefillah, and for boys in yeshiva specifically, but it's true for everyone. He writes, a person is in a low place, like physically, they're on the ground, and there's a ladder. And the ladder takes them to a much higher, better place. And they walk around the ladder. They walk around again. And they walk around again, day after day. Now and then, he writes, now and then, they look at the ladder. They say, here's a ladder. I want to climb up this ladder. And then, they walk around the ladder again. And they walk around the ladder again. And again, and again, and again. Until they remember the ladder. And they look at him and say, oh yes, I want to climb this ladder, I really want to. Ladder, I want to climb you. And then they walk around and around and around the ladder again and again. That's his mashal. It's a sad mashal. But it's so true. When people come to tefillah, it's different than how people come to Torah. When people come to Torah, they say, I have to grow, I have to learn, derech ha-limud, how am I learning, how am I advancing, should I do chazorah, how much chazorah, am I remembering, do a test to make sure that I know. Torah they take seriously, they're climbing the ladder when it comes to Torah. When it comes to tefillah, they say, I have to improve my tefillah. And they daven mindlessly, tefillah after tefillah after tefillah after tefillah, without thinking about it at all. And then now and then they hear a topic on tefillah, or they just like, it's enough already, I'm not thinking about it, and they say, I want to grow in tefillah. There's a path here of how to grow. There are books written about it. There are people who are better than me in it. They're just reading the commentary of the tefillah itself just to know what it's talking about. There's many ways of working on tefillah. That's a very important thing to do. And they think about that for a minute or two, a day, half a day. They open maybe a book and look at it. Oh, it talks here about tefillah. Baruch Hashem, if I ever want to, I know that in this book there's a chapter somewhere in the back which talks about tefillah. I'm okay. I know that if I want to, I can go. And then they walk around and around and they don't feel. Someone who has zehirut, someone who has mitbonut, that wouldn't happen. They would make a plan of action. Because they would be mitbonen the next day, they would say, what happened? I said it was important to me. I'm mitbonen all the time. So if I said it's important, what am I doing about it? And they would, if 2 days would pass, they said, I need to work on this, and they didn't do anything about it, and they would stop everything else. They would say, 1 second, I'm mitbonen. What's holding me back? What's holding back from doing it? They would try and analyze what's holding back. Maybe what's holding back is that I feel it's impossible. It's just too overwhelming. Okay, that's what it is. Let me see if that's true. Then we start clarifying that point. Maybe what's holding back is that it doesn't make a difference to other people. Torah makes a difference. Other people are checking me. I have a chavrusa, I have a shiur, I have tests. Tefillah doesn't really make a difference. Maybe that's what's holding back. Okay, so I have to check. Is that what's important in life? Is what other people think of me, being able to measure it, is that, maybe it is, maybe it's not, I have to check. But they're mitbonen the whole time. Maybe I don't actually believe, excuse me for saying this, I'm in a yeshiva, I'm in a charocha, it's okay. Maybe I can say, I don't believe that anyone's listening. I'm not saying I don't believe in God. I believe in God, of course, but really, like, I'm going to speak and he's going to listen and it's going to make a difference. Does it really make a difference? Like, does my words make a difference? I don't know if I believe it. Okay, Mitbonen, let's clarify. Is that true? Is that true? Maybe I believe that right now, but I don't have to be stuck with that for my whole life. Is that true? Let me clarify that. Let me talk to a rabbi about it. Let me look at some about it. What's holding? If you see that a few days pass and there's a value that's important to you and you haven't worked on it, then there's something holding you back. So a Mitbonen, someone who's contemplating, he'll say, let me discover what holds me back. Because I don't want to be held back. I'll discover it and I'll crack it. I'll put a crack in it. I'll break it. I don't know if I can overwhelmingly destroy it, but at least let me channel it. Challenge it. Is that true? Let me ask someone. Someone who's Mitbonen won't let that happen, where he walks around and around and around and around endlessly until next Yom Kippur and he sees him in exactly the same place he was the year before. How could it be that a person, in a good case scenario, is writing a cheshbon nefesh, and they get to the next Yom Kippur, and they say, no growth in this topic whatsoever. Now I'm saying, there's no problem that you get to the next year, Yom Kippur, and you're in the same struggle. But the whole year you're working on it, and you try this, and you try that, and you try this, and you try that, and nothing works. That's fine. That's totally fine. Because you put in ishtadlus, you showed up with this brachos, this is important to you, and you're putting in efforts. Hashem judges you by your efforts, not by your accomplishments. So therefore, you come to Yom Kippur the next day and you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did all my all. I can show you, Hashem, that I did my all. But if you come to the next year and you say, oh yeah, I remember that last year I thought of a topic and I didn't work on it the whole year, then what have you done? You haven't worked at all. Mitbonen is the solution to all of this. And someone who's learning Musar is someone who's constantly on the work, constantly on the build of how to improve. Okay, we're going to just read the next few lines and then we're going to finish. The way for a person to acquire Zahirus is constantly to be mitbonen. The way for a person to acquire zerizus, what new action should I take to be more enthusiastic? What's valuable to me? What's important to me? What do I have to do? The way you do that is by being mitbonen on the mitzvot, being mitbonen on Torah. When you contemplate what the value of mitzvot are, what the value of Torah is, also to mitbonenut, and then we get to the next level of nekius. And what is the advice that Mr. Shram gives for how to work on nekius? We're not going into it now. But he says, you should read the words of Chazal that speak about this topic. Meaning, again, mitbonen. But don't read the words of Chazal in a quick fashion where you just read through it and I've learned that daf. But pause on the topics of Agadata that speak about these topics and think, what does that mean to me? How does that affect my life? Where is that relevant to me? Am I holding there? Am I not holding there? You could read something and say, thank God I read it. Then you could say, do I agree with it? Does that make, do I live my life according to that? Being mitbonen. And he carries on the Mitzvah Sham, Precious. What does he say to do by Precious? The Mitzvah Sham, he says, you have to mitbonen on what benefit you get from the physical in this world. Mitbonen. I'm not saying you should stop. Because then it would be forced. It wouldn't be natural. And you would still, like we spoke about yesterday in the Tyre Levinas series, that if you really want something and you force yourself to stop, it doesn't solve it. Because there's an inner sense of, but I really want it. And then that eventually will overcome and overpower. Because, okay, I stopped, but how long can I stop for? I really, 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 I want it. But if you're mitbonen, what does it actually give me? What does it actually give me? When I invest in this type of a pleasure, I cut off my friends, I feel kind of sad afterwards, I feel depressed. When I invest in this pleasure, I feel like I don't even enjoy life as much anymore because that doesn't really give me pleasure. And then when I come to try and get pleasure from other things, my whole level of pleasure has been reduced. So what actually is it giving me? If you don't deeply contemplate the negativity that a certain pleasure is giving you, then you won't be able to overcome it because you're just stuck in the mindless rat race of, but that's what I do when I'm feeling sad, so I'll just go and do it again. That's what I do when I'm depressed, so I'll do it again. That's what I do when I feel like I need to pick me up, so I'll go and do it again. And without thought, how do you overcome it? Not by forcing yourself, but by thought. By mitbonen. All of the levels are mitbonenut. Tahara. Chasidut. Anava. Yirechet and Kedusha. If you want in your own time, you can read through each of those. On each of those, the Aleh Shor brings each of those levels of the Ramchal, and he shows how, what's the Ramchal's advice? The advice the Ramchal gives on every stage is mitbonenut, a different thing. Each one, he says, a different thing you should contemplate. And he gives you the levels, he gives you the meta rules, he gives you the principles, the notions, each one he gives you. But all of the ways of working on Avodas Hashem are all mitbonenut, that's what it's all in. So what the goal of Musar is to train you to be a mitbonen. to give you the tools of how to think deeply about concepts. And if you're able to do that, the whole world is open, the depth of the world is open before you. Last paragraph. That's why people sometimes have a hard time learning Muslim. Because you have to be very authentic and very real. You have to think deeply. You can't do it superficially.
We come to learn Musa books, Musa works, without training ourselves first to be mitbonen.
Well, there was a time when I had a group of boys I was working with, and whenever they would say any phrase in English, which was a kind of a unique phrase, like a catchphrase, or it was a phrase that obviously in some era meant something, but it was used out of context now, but that's just the way you use it, I would always ask them, like, what does that phrase actually mean? They go, no, it means this. I go, but why? Why does that word in English language mean that? I don't know one that comes to mind. Like, why is a second called a second? Meaning a second of time. Why isn't it called a third or a first? It's the same in Hebrew. Right? A second in Hebrew is a shnia. A shnia. Why is it called a second? Why isn't it called a fourth or a fifth or a sixth or a tenth? Why is it a second? And we paused and we thought about it and we came to a svara. Because there's two rounds of 60. There's a 60 of how many minutes in an hour. There's another second cycle of how many seconds there are in a minute, which is the second group. I don't know if that's the truth, but we were mitbonen. Anything you say, you have to mitbonen why it's like that. That's what we came up with in our little chabura. We had a chabura hitbonenut. Like thinking of things that we don't know why they are the way they are, and let's contemplate together why they are the way. To train yourself to think. Even on English things. But it's training the mind to think in depth. Once you train yourself in that way in general, you're able to come to Torah and to Musar, and like the Mrs. Hashem's mashal was, where you have all coals, you start flaming them, you discover a fire. Inside Torah, without mitbonenut, it's dead. Once you're mitbonen, you discover the fire of Torah, the connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that comes through Torah.